and welcome to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy F. Solomon, your host, coming to you today from the Oakland Hills on the first Monday in June. Delighted to be with you today. Hope you had a great long weekend last week. And also shout out to my colleagues in Oklahoma. I was talking with Jerry Rackley of Demand Metric during the week, and he said no, the tornadoes hadn't come close to him, and after that he had to run. So shout out, my heart is with you guys in Oklahoma. We are a Global Product Management Talk. We have international listeners. Hello, everyone. Shout out to our new listeners in Boston. The Startup Product Talks Boston community is going to start in the next 2 months. I'm traveling to Boston to meet everyone and get it kick-started in the Innovation District. Very exciting. Shout out to our listeners in the San Francisco Bay Area. Thanks for joining in. Very excited today to talk about UI, which has a new process for user research, rapid prototyping, motion recognition. Very exciting stuff. And we have on the show today Derek Carter, who is the co-founder and CTO. He'll tell us more about himself in a moment. You're listening to the Global Product Management Talk. You can find us on the web at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. If you're tweeting, use the hashtag PRODMGMTTALK and follow us at Twitter, PRODMGMTTALK. If you're looking for our archives of over 80 episodes, that's where you'll find them. blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK, and it's also an Android app. So, the Global Product Management Talk. You can call in to be on the show with us today at 323-927-2957. And we are brought to you today by the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management, which was founded in 1998 and promotes worldwide excellence in product management education with training, certification credentials, professional networking opportunities. With members in over 65 countries, it is the worldwide certifying body of product team professionals, offering trainings localized for specific markets designed to meet the challenges of a constantly changing business landscape. The Agile Certified Product Manager, Certified Product Manager, Certified Product Marketing Manager, Certified Brand Manager, and Certified Innovation Leader programs allow individual members to demonstrate their level of expertise and provide corporate members an assurance that their product professionals are operating at peak performance. Go right now to www.aipmm.com. Follow them on Twitter at AIPMM, where they list international product management and product marketing open opportunities. They also have an excellent career center and a weekly webinar series that I used to host, now hosted by the very capable Hector de Castillo. Thank you to Sprintly. Don't ask how it's going. Watch how it's going with Sprint.ly. Sprintly is project management software, bringing the entire corporation to the software development process by showing managers and non-engineers a top-level view of what the programmers are doing. Find them on the web at Sprint.ly. Follow them at Sprintly and follow the CEO at Joe Stump. He writes excellent things. Read his blog postings. Thank you, BrainMates, boosting people and product performance. Subscribe to their newsletter. Read popular brain rants. Learn about their consulting and mentoring approach to forward your product management career and methods. BrainMates.com at BrainMates. Thank you, SponSumo, solving the headaches of managing conferences and other events, allowing you to focus on relationships and sales. Sign up for a trial account at SponSumo.com. Startup Product is a movement for product excellence through cross-discipline collaboration and holistic product perspective. There is a life cycle that every product, startup, idea, and project passes through to be realized. Focusing on where the product is in its life cycle enables a conversation that brings us all together on what will serve the product most to arrive at product market fit, sustain growth, and generate revenue streams. The next Startup Product Summit, SF2, is scheduled for October 11th in San Francisco. Go to startupproduct.com, click on Summit. You'll see the details from the last summit in February and the upcoming details if you register now before June 24th for a special $400 off discount. Get in now. We are broadcasting live from Studio 132 with BZ Lewis, a six-time Emmy-winning sound engineer and excellent musician. We're at studio132.com. The music is courtesy of @BlameSally, www.blamesally.com. And thank you so much. Excellent music by a band coming right out of San Francisco. Okay, so what did I leave out? Oh, yes, this weekend in Florida is the first Product Camp Florida. Shout out to our friends who are newly in Florida, the doctors, Jennifer and Barry, and the product community in Florida. Check out Product Camp Florida. We will cover the tweets and the archive of tweets. You can read what happens at the event. If you're not going to be there in person, you can read them at storify.com/PRODMGMTTALK. So I am Cindy F. Solomon. You can follow me on Twitter @CindyFSolomon. I care about products and people, and it takes knowledge, process, tools, and people to arrive at product excellence. So today I'm excited to talk about UI and welcome Derek Carter to join us. Are you still there, Derek?
I am here, Cindy.
Great. So here's what I had, the intro. We were expecting Carl Henderson, who's the CEO and founder, and he's traveling on the East Coast with family. So thank you, Derek, for jumping in to be with us today. So I'm going to read to you what I had prepared, and then you're going to bring us up to date on what we're going to talk about today. How's that, Derek?
Sounds great.
Great. So here's what I had. Entrepreneurs recognize that whether you're building a minimum viable product, new feature iteration, or redesigning marketing pages, it's important to test and test often. With valuable feedback, product managers can redefine the product's priorities and roadmap and bring those insights to the teams building the product. For everyone in the midst of bringing amazing products to market, how should you prioritize user research and user testing as you try to accomplish your end goal? Rapid prototyping and agile research are important, but how does one go about doing both? So those were the questions Kyle had given me. So, Derek, I know you're the co-founder at UI Test. By the way, you can follow on Twitter, UI Test. That's YOUEYETESTS. And let me just tell you what I know about UI is, hold on, shuffle. Okay, what I know about UI, and you'll correct me, Derek, is that UI is a usability testing service enabling designs and developers to get feedback for their sites. It's a virtual UX lab in the cloud, and the service records participant interactions with the site and captures their emotions. UI's face recognition algorithms recognize over 50,000 micro-expressions and accurately show when a user's facial expression aligns with several feelings, including happy, surprised, puzzled, disgusted, afraid, and sad. UI's customers include Airbnb, Microsoft, and Eventbrite, and you can find them on the web at UI.com. That's YOUEYE.com. Okay, Derek, please bring us up to date. Tell us about yourself, where you're calling in from, and exactly what UI is.
Absolutely. So currently I'm sitting in our lovely offices in the heart of Mountain View, California. And a little bit about myself. I've known Kyle for going on 12 years now. We met in college. I've actually been, my background is all in engineering. I started programming when I was 12, grabbed a QBasic book and just hit it hard and I loved it, been doing it ever since. My first startup, you could say, was when I was 15. Me and a friend of mine made a gaming news site that we got on the web, and it was pretty successful at the time. We got about 10,000 unique visits in our first week, and this was back in around 98. So we had a good time doing that, but I mean, I was only 15 or so at the time, so I didn't really know what I was doing, but it was a very fun and very good learning experience. Kyle and I met in college, actually doing we went to a very small liberal arts school, and all of the IT and everything that had to do with the networking and the computers and the website were all done by students. So we got in this program and really started to work together in this really kind of pre-startup environment. We were able to identify things that needed to be done and just had the essentially the freedom to go and do them. So we got a chance to start working together pretty soon. Since then, I've been working for another companies. I've been a consultant for a number of years, and I've worked for startups. And Kyle essentially approached me at one point and said he had this idea for a website to essentially user test other websites. And it's something that I hadn't really encountered before because I was working mainly as an engineer, but I was working on some very hard interface questions at the time. I was working on digital mapping software, and we were trying to implement some new interfaces that nobody had ever done before because this was kind of a brand new product, and Google Maps had kind of paved the way for web mapping, but we were doing web map creation, which is a very new and interesting problem, and we were trying to solve in creative ways. But some of the interfaces that I was designing and implementing, I had no idea how well they would work in the real world. And so I was running into this issue where I was building stuff and spending a lot of time on building new interfaces that we may need to scrap or completely rethink once it was gotten in the hands of the users. And Kyle gave me a call, and he said, you know, what about this idea? Essentially taking a service that you can go in and test your designs, your websites, your applications, and with very little pain and very little, you know, time invested. And I thought it was perfect for what I needed at the time. So so we got together and started building it, and it really kind of took off. And that was actually when we were working on it, we were working on out of Washington, D.C. And we took the startup, and with prompting from one of our investors, we moved out to Silicon Valley and had been working on it. And so that's essentially what we do is we have the ability to test any website or application and to show how users are interacting with it, what problems they're facing, what issues they run into, what works really well, what doesn't work at all, and kind of bundle all of that knowledge with some pretty neat technology on top that allows us to show what the users are experiencing while they do it, in both in emotions and frustration and all of that data combined into one package that really takes very, very little time or money to do, which replaces this very, old process of focus groups and trying to get people in coffee shops or bring them in-house, which is a very time-consuming process. So that's what we've been building, and that's what we've been working on, and it really, I think, has made a huge change in product development and product workflow for companies. And we feel like that's going to be as big as, say, Google Analytics for companies going into the future.
Wow. So that is awesome. So how long have you been out here?
So we've been out here for about 2 years now. coming up this July, I believe.
Awesome. Well, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
So it is very, very cool. I have seen how it works, and essentially what my experience was that I was seeing a website. Well, I guess I was watching the demo, and I was seeing the user's face, and not only could I see where his eyes, like it showed within the website the hot points where his eyes were focusing, and then underneath it was also showing data of what the emotions were. So it was essentially interpreting his facial recognition. So it's interesting that you were saying it's replacing user groups and testing groups. I think it's adding a dimension that we didn't have, because when you ask somebody for their impression, they have to think about how they feel, they have to filter it, and they have to edit it, and then they have to describe. But what UI does is it sees their immediate reaction without going through their interpretation filters. So they can't lie. You see their facial expression. So if they, you know, if they think something is horrible, you've captured that impression.
Yep. And the great thing about it too is because it's all an automated process and it's all a digital, you know, we have the videos and we have the data, we can actually take the points that are most relevant to you know, what you're building, like where are the users having the most frustrating points? Where are they the most happy? And we can boil those down and present that in a way that's really easy to digest. So whereas with a traditional focus group, you've got to spend, you know, a lot of time, you know, asking them questions. And like you said, they're going to be very filtered. And there's also a bias because they nobody wants to say anything bad about what they're working on right there, you know, to your face. And so there's also that kind of problem. And but you also have to go through all of this and ask all the questions. And if you record it, you have to watch all of that video again. It's a very, very time-consuming process. With us, we're boiling it down to the key points that you have to focus on to kind of give you a triage. We really want to make this a very fast, very easy, very painless process to test your products, because a lot of people just don't test because it's time-consuming, it's expensive, and we're trying to fix that.
Yeah, and, you know, it goes back to this whole debate that we have around Apple and Steve Jobs, where he said, you know, people don't know what they want. Don't ask them, which drives product managers who are trying to do market research and get customer feedback. It drives us crazy, because if customers don't know what they want, where are we supposed to get the information? And you're actually answering that dilemma. That's really what Steve Jobs was referring to. People won't be able to tell you what they want. They do know what they want, but it's maybe a subconscious thing, and they'll respond when they get what they want. So UI is enabling that to speed the process to really understanding. Now, we also left out some context here, that this is for software online products, right?
Correct. So, yes, so right now it works on all websites and all applications on the desktop, and we've got a mobile product in the works.
Excellent. A mobile product. So people will be able to open their phone or actually use their phone or their tablet to get feedback. That's insanely wonderful.
Yeah, so one of the things about that we've been finding with the web is that a lot of people, it's kind of that Steve Jobs approach. We've now have people who've been working in web development for 20 years, and a lot of them, they get very set in their ways, and it's kind of that, like I said, that Steve Jobs shooting from the hip approach, like I know what I'm doing, let's do it. But the problem is that hunches can be wrong, right? But we just have a lot of people in the web world who are very confident in their abilities, and rightly so. I mean, we have You know, we have Bootstrap. We have a lot of things that kind of set things up the right way. And so it's very easy to build a really nice online presence. There's a lot of resources for that. But for mobile, there's almost no references. You have essentially what Apple built. They built the original, you know, nice touchscreen UI. And everything is kind of based on that. And everything else is guesswork. It's kind of the Wild West in mobile design right now. And so people are really looking for answers to the questions of, does this work? They really want to try new interfaces because there's a whole lot of greenfield in completely new ways to interact with, you know, the mobile experience. And so that's, you know, a direction that that we feel really strongly about because we feel like we can answer, we can help really guide mobile development for the next decade.
Yeah, and years ago I worked at a software subsidiary of Apple, and we had a whole lab with a one-sided mirror that we brought people into, and all kinds of cameras in front of them and behind them. But it was such a painful and long process. It was so much orientation we had to give people before we sent them into the lab. The guys who were the researchers inside the lab were, you know, had PhDs in human psychology, and it was way early. But for all the work and investment, I don't think we ever got good feedback about if the product worked well, or because we would do it even at the early stages before we released a feature, and it was pre-agile. So I'm just thinking that UI makes that whole process not only easier, affordable, available, but better feedback than you can get anywhere else.
Correct. So we've actually run into this. One of our customers told us that they had been doing the you know, the in-person focus groups for a long time, and that's pretty much how they do all of their research. And so they had been working on a product, and they'd done several focus groups on it, and then they ran a test with us, immediately, because you have to remember, all of our participants are at home. They're sitting on their couch. Sometimes they're on their bed. You know, they're just in their natural environment. They're comfortable, and there's no one around them. They don't feel like they're pressured. And so after this customer ran a test with us, they said they got feedback that they had never got before, and a lot of it was negative feedback. It was just things that people were too afraid to say in person that they had, no such inhibitions to say at their house or where they felt comfortable. And so they got this really, really valuable feedback about things that they needed to work on that they never could have gotten in person because people just aren't willing to be as confrontational about that then. And so that was a very nice and rewarding to realize that that our process helps not just from a time and speed issue and cost issue, but also we can give feedback that that you can't really get any way else.
Yeah, and it's a dilemma again for product managers, because if we come with negative feedback, you know, the developers, the engineers are not greatly appreciative of our feedback, so we have to back it up with data and spend a lot of time proving. Whereas what UI enables us to do now is we just show video of the users, so it's not about us fighting with the engineers and developers about the features. It's look, see for yourself. Here's the data firsthand. The other thing that's very cool is from an ethnography point of view, ethnographers go out in the wild to view people, because how people behave in their own comfortable environment, to your point, if they're sitting on their own couches, it's very different than how they might behave in a formal environment or in an office, or especially if they know that people might be judging or viewing what they're doing. So your product totally raises the bar on what's possible.
And also when it comes down to the product process too, and that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about. When it comes down to the product process, user testing is usually done at very specific choke points in the development process, right? Usually it's either right before release or right after release, or depending on how big of a research team you have, it can be done earlier. But for most of the companies and most of the people, they do, if they do research at all, they do it only when it's almost too late to change things, or even or change things in a big way, because that process is so time intensive and costly. And so one of the things that that we feel like we're making better in the testing space and in the development space is because it takes so little time and so little effort, and it's very low touch to be able to run these studies. You can do it at every step of the process. We've kind of moved into the agile world in development. So when you're engineering, we follow a very process of build it and then iterate on it and just move quickly. People run in usually like week or 2 week sprints now, we can really build rapidly and iterate rapidly on the developing front. But the product side and the product design and the management side has not had the benefit of that revolution yet, that being able to move really quickly and be able to kind of keep up with the agile development process. And so one of the things that one of our goals is to change that, is to really bring the product side and the design side in line with the agile development process, and make it as fast and iterative so that we can build great products right from the get-go. Because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to test your product after you've already spent all the time building it. And that's kind of like I said, like you brought up the Steve Jobs, the shooting from the hip approach. People believe that they don't need to test that erroneously, and then they'll launch and see that things aren't working, and it really kind of is problematic. They have to go back to the drawing board. What we want to do is provide a workflow whereby testing comes along at every step of the process. Because a lot of times the product design process starts with just an idea and then a really quick mock-up that you kind of look at it, you play with it, you change things around. You flesh out that mock-up a little bit more. You maybe add a little interactive UI elements, and then you get it to pixel perfect and you hand it off to engineering who builds it. The problem is, like I said, like oftentimes you drop the testing in the middle of that. You just don't do it because it's slow. You're trying to move quickly and it's costly and you only use it for very, very, very high importance or, high value items. And so when you have testing that's as easy as we're making it, you can now design, make a quick mock-up in an hour or two, throw it up and test it. And in a couple hours, you're probably going to start getting back results. And in 24 hours, usually you'll have most of your results. And so you can actually make an agile product workflow that moves and iterates extremely rapidly, just like the engineering side, by testing all at every step of the way. And so instead of going through the entire design process and then going back to the start, you go a little bit, work on it, learn what you need to learn, and iterate, and then move on to the next step and do the same thing. You have a more fleshed out mock-up, and you test each step of the way, and then when the time comes to hand it over to engineering, you've already got something that you know works because it's been tested, it's been proven. It's kind of taking the idea of agile and the idea of measure twice and cut once, and really, really bringing that workflow to a very tight focus.
So you're saying that using UI, you don't have to measure twice and cut once. You can cut that in half?
Yeah, well, it essentially would be measuring twice and cut once, but moving faster. Because you're user testing it each step of the way, so you're measuring it all along the way before it comes to develop. And so when it comes time to develop, you've already got you've already got your measurements, you've already got your data, it's kind of a proven design. And engineering hands are very, very costly. Once you hand something to engineering, you want to make sure that you've got it right. And I mean, obviously, you want to have that communication flow going both ways, where engineering is involved in the design process and vice versa. But once you hand it over to engineering, it's very costly to change once something's built. It's very time consuming, and so you want to make sure that that it's going to work right in the user's hands. Because the last thing you want is to throw something out there and it's just broken from a workflow perspective. People don't get it. People don't understand it. Because then you've got to go back and you've got to try to figure out at that point, the late stage, once you've already got it online, why people aren't engaging with it or why your conversion rate is so low, et cetera, et cetera. But if you've got something that works right out of the gate, you build it and you just go. And that way you can still iterate. You can fix the bugs. There's always going to be bugs, but you can iterate and fix it a little bit. But mostly you're ready to go on to the next thing. Rather than launching something and then trying to play with it and tweak it until it works, you're launching something that you know works already, and you can move on to the next phase. And that's a huge value for building apps and products.
Excellent. So I want to take this opportunity and tell you that you are listening to the Global Product Management Talk. I have Derek Carter, who is the co-founder of UI Tests, on the show with me today. This is Cindy F. Solomon. You're welcome to call into the show if you do it in the next 20 minutes to 323-927-2957 when we're on the air live. And so shout out, thank you to our participants in the Boston Startup Product Community, the San Francisco Bay Product Community, and Luke Byrne, who is at MeLukeByrne. Hi, Luke. And so he has a question for us, which he posted on Twitter. And his question, Derek, is all the eye tracking and emotion recognition built in-house? And if so, were there any open sources that you can recommend?
That's a great question. So we get a lot of questions about our signal processing. So the answer to that is we have it's kind of a blend, actually. So we have quite a bit of our own code. We have licensed code and SDKs, and a lot of it is built around OpenCV. OpenCV is a computer vision library that's open source, and a lot of people use it for computer vision applications and, you know, robotic eyes and basically a lot of signal processing needs. To answer that question, it's all three of those. It's kind of a combination. For anyone interested in getting into CV, including gaze tracking and emotion recognition, OpenCV gets you a good way there, but it obviously doesn't handle everything. It doesn't do gaze tracking out of the box. You have to implement quite a bit of things to get it going, especially when it comes to using webcams, because most gaze trackers require fixed head position. They require great lighting. You can't move around and all of that. And so there's a whole lot of logic that goes around into handling that. But OpenCV is a great start for someone who's interested in computer vision.
So that's OpenCV for computer vision. Got it. Okay. So thank you, Luke. Great question. Keep them coming. So we got into some technical issues there, and I have to say, way a long time ago in a previous lifetime, when there was Waterfall and big software in software enterprise, you know, it was a huge ordeal to do quality assurance testing. There were whole departments of QA testers, and it was a real problem managing the build and the release and the launch, because the testers never wanted the product to go out. And we had to, in order to deliver the product to the beta testers, we had to drop it onto a CD. And so often we were fighting fist fights over, we had to get the product out to the testers. The QA didn't want to release it, and we had to get feedback in order to launch. So, of course, you know, we'd be sending out really buggy stuff. But back in the day, that's what people were used to. People had to accept that. It was better than nothing. So finally, you know, we're at a place where we're delivering on the promise of all these tools and developing technology that's actually useful and benefits everyone involved, except that maybe it put QA people out of business.
Well, hopefully not. I mean, like I said, there's always going to be certain issues that arise, and there's going to be bugs and things. And the QA engineers, they're the ones who poke the nooks and crannies. They're the ones who make sure that everything's working properly. Studies. It's more about finding the quick wins, the big issues, the workflow problems. And sometimes bugs happen along the way, and that gets captured as well, and that's helpful. But more about product flow and just how well it works, and conversion and engagement and experience.
Great. Do you want to talk more about that back end? It's very interesting what you were answering to Luke and the whole robotics. That you're using, and
sure.
Explain that more, because people can't see what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So our platform is actually pretty complex, just out of necessity, because we have a product that works on pretty much anybody's computer. Anybody can take a test for us. It records their both their screen and their webcam and their microphone, and takes all of that data and sends it up to us. And on the back end, we've got servers that take that signal, essentially that video, and we run the processing on it. We find all of their features in each frame of video. We locate their pupils. We use that based on the calibration step to provide the gaze tracking and motion recognition in our product, and those servers that processing takes quite a bit, actually, because we're doing heavy processing on each frame of the video, and the videos are usually variable frame rate, but you're looking at up to 24 frames in each second of video, and usually our tests are about 15 minutes, and so it's quite a bit of a heavy duty processing, and there's a lot that goes on in the back end. But some of the neatest technology is our signal processing, which we use, I kind of talked a little bit about there, that we use quite a bit of a little computer vision code to read each facial expression and how it moves over time, and we gather all that data and boil it down to the essentials and present those videos. But in that process, I mean, you've essentially had a whole lot of steps in between where we record the user session, which is no small feat in itself, uploading it to our servers where we process it and boil it down, and then present the data in a very engaging way. It's been a very fun problem for me from an engineering perspective. It's always the goal of engineering to make this really complicated technology seem easier, simple on the front end. And I hope that's something that we've accomplished here, because we've essentially brought this large process and boiled it down to something, to a very simple and focused product. But it's a very fun process on the back end.
So I had to quote you on that, that it's the goal of engineering to make complicated technology seem easier on the front end. And certainly as an ultimate end user, I really appreciate that, because it often seems that, engineers are not concerned with the front end at all. No offense, but, you guys like to solve complex problems. And once you do that, move on to the next challenge rather than, sometimes it seems to me the due diligence for making it easier and explaining it to the end user, that's all left to the non-engineers, which rightly so. We should keep your brain power challenged in solving those complex problems. But I really appreciate when I hear an engineer saying that you care about making complexity simple. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, that is an entire philosophy of our company, too. I feel like there's been a trend in Silicon Valley for finding engineers that are very focused on really hard problems or really tough math or something like that. I mean, you just look at the different style engineering interview styles here. Some interviewing styles is they go in there and they ask you as many tricky and complicated and mathematic and computer science-y questions as they can and see how you respond to them. And if you kind of get lost, then you're out. But I don't personally ask those questions. When I interview engineers, I'm looking for people who are really product-minded, who are really user-focused, because that's really where you're going to build great products. I mean, in all honesty, I'd rather have somebody who's better at knowing what a customer wants maybe isn't quite as great of a mathematical engineer. Because at the end of the day, we're not making things like you said. We're making things for regular people, regular users, people who don't want to worry about the internals and worry about the technical issues. They just want it to work. And so I think the focus in engineering in the Valley needs to really switch back to that, because designers have a lot of say in it, but when it gets in the hands of the engineers, there's a lot of decisions that are made very quickly, and you always want people who are thinking about it from the customer side and the user side, rather than what's easiest to implement or what's most elegant to develop from an engineering perspective. You really want to think about the product and the user. And so I think we've done pretty well in terms of just hiring product engineers rather than just computer engineers.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, you're actually speaking to the whole intention of the startup product movement, where it's all about bringing everyone cross-discipline together to be focused on the customer, on using technology to serve and being product-minded. And that hasn't always been true, and it's not a given, as you point out. It's not something that is celebrated in Silicon Valley. You know, who the rock stars here are the engineers. But they're only they're just one part of the product team. And the whole goal is not to just be a startup, but to move from a startup and to scale. So thanks. Plug for the startupproduct.com movement. And it's also why I invited Kyle to be on the show and why I was very excited to hear this focus. And particularly, this is an extremely complex product. And it's amazing to me that you guys didn't look at what it would take. You looked at what the goal was. And then it seemed to me that the goal was to enable product testing to be easy, and then you figured out everything else it was going to take. And no matter how complex it was, you were up for the challenge, and I totally applaud that. A lot of what happens in the whole customer-driven and the whole planning, often they look at, what is this going to take? Do we have the resources to do it? How long is it going to take? Let's not do, all those seem insurmountable. And it seems to me if you had started, it might have looked insurmountable, but you guys were up for it. That is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, when Kyle originally called me with the idea, and I don't tell this story often, but when he called me with the idea, I said, because he had envisioned kind of the signal processing in it. He called me and I said, Kyle, I really don't think we can do this, but let's do it. Because I think to do something like this, you got to be a little crazy. You got to be a little willing to jump off the cliff and not know how deep the water is.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and that's what is exciting about startups. And Silicon Valley maybe enables people to be more willing to do that. So that's a good thing. Can you give us maybe a case study or an example of how a company or one of your customers is using it and the difference that it's made for them?
Sure. Beyond the example that I gave where we were essentially able to give the feedback to a company that had not gotten any negative feedback, any real negative feedback on their product, we've gotten people who essentially have just told us, our customers, that this is the kind of feedback that they just can't get anywhere else. Because like I said, like a lot of these, so we work with companies big and small, and the big companies have entire research teams, they have entire UX teams, and their job is to just go from product to product and test it. And we worked with some big clients who their process is so cumbersome that they've got UX teams that will not be able to test products for 6 months. Like their queue is 6 months backed up. And so these customers are like this one customer whose queue is 6 months backed up came to us, ran a test with us, and we were able to give their results back in just a couple of days. And it was just eye-opening because you don't have to be a researcher to run a test on us because we kind of walk you through that process. We kind of aid in that process. If you're a researcher, it's a great tool to use, but you can use us without being a researcher and without knowing because we've got really good defaults, we've got really good education, and we're there to step in and help you and guide you write these really meaningful tests. And so being able to take that six-month turnaround time, which they said they don't even use because after 6 months, whatever you're building, it's long, it's either built or forgotten. And so they essentially just didn't test almost anything. And so now being able to move this into a few days process, they're now testing, almost everything. So, that's one way that we've kind of gotten into, that we've been able to help, a really large company with their workflow. And we also, from the smaller company perspective, it's very same. Like the smaller companies, they just don't have the budget. They don't have the time. And oftentimes they don't even have the person to be able to go out and test something. There's a lot of trend in the Valley for the coffee shop user test, where you just go to a popular coffee shop like a Starbucks and you just have a stack of gift cards on the table and say, hey, you want to come use your app? Let me watch you use my app. I'll give you this Starbucks gift card. it's a great way. It's honestly a great way to do it. But it takes a person and probably an entire day to go out and test this one thing. Whereas, we can do it. You spend 10 minutes setting up this test and writing it, and then you're done. And then you get feedback. You can do it. You can go on and work on other things while the test is going. It doesn't require your attention. It doesn't require your focus. It's quick. It's easy. And so it really means that anybody, big or small, can now test and in a really quick way. And so, that's really what we want to do is, if there's one thing that I want to harp on, and I have been, it's we want people to be able to test and build the best product they can. Because there's so many things that as people are building that they just overlook or have biases or blind spots that this completely removes, and you can just build something that's absolutely beautiful and wonderful.
Yes, and that's again, It's all about product excellence and how do we arrive at it, and this is a key tool to arriving at that. Yeah, and that whole coffee thing, you know, it's kind of cool that people get exposure to the product, but I see that more as a marketing ploy than an actual real testing. You're exposing people to the product early on, but how good is that feedback? They want that, you know, gift card, or they're doing you a favor. And again, who's going to be negative? It's so hard. Even people pay me to give them critical analysis of their product at the different stages. And I've taken to using a simple product like Screener just to record what I'm seeing as I look at their, you know, clearly it's not sophisticated to your level, but I'll now just tell them, hey, if they really want, the next place to go is UI tests. But so can people use UI tests if they just have a prototype, if they haven't launched yet, if they don't have all the working features?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got a prototype, or if you can put up a screenshot, anything, you can test it. And we also work really well with things like Balsamiq and Acture, and these kind of design products, because I believe most of those all have a component where you can just click a button and it puts it on the web. And so in a really nice workflow, you can go through and design these, mock these up, throw them up on a web page, and test it immediately. I mean, you can literally spend 20 minutes working on a design and have it tested, and just see what works and see what people's impressions are. Does this make sense? Are people confused? Do they not know what they're looking at? Do they not know how to interact with this? And so that's the idea, is to get in at every stage. And so, if you've got something as simple as a screenshot or even a whiteboard drawing, you can just take a picture, throw it up online, and throw people against it. Say, does this make sense? Is this, just get a gut check, quick feedback about, this product, and really get customer feedback really quickly.
So it doesn't have to actually be a working, moving product. It can be anything that can be put on a web page. Anything that can be rendered on the web can be tested.
Yep, that's correct. Because it's, the idea is, we got it through, and our testers understand that it's really just about the feedback, because it's all live and interactive. Well, it's not live, it's recorded, but you can see the video of them responding to it, and you can watch their face, you can see their emotions, and you can tell what they're focusing on and what they like, and they're kind of narrating. They're going through. It's as if you'd gone up to your product manager or something like that and say, what do you think about this design? Anything you can do online, you can test with us. And it's really about the feedback. There's no set workflow that you have to do. We really just want to be the tool and the platform for providing that feedback. And people are using it in pretty creative ways.
Excellent. So I want to shout out to our couple of tweeters, Daniel Leon and Brian Sheffer, who are retweeting and thumbs up on making technology simple on the front end to benefit all. And the 6-month process testing doesn't work. Now at UI Test has 1 to 2 day process enabling continuous testing. So for the continuous testing, so that totally enables a continuous development process.
Yes. So that's what we're saying. So we as we're moving to this continuous integration, and the development, the product design is struggling to keep up, because they've got to essentially fill the hopper of what we're focusing on. And it's really hard because, you've got to decide which direction to take, and you got to do that early on. And the problem is what I see a lot of times in a lot of companies is engineering switching focus constantly, which is just that's a company killer. It really is, because your engineers get fatigued. Your customers get confused. Your whole company loses its focus. And it's all because the product is learning what's wrong too late. And so when you really make this kind of a continuous testing process, it really sets, you know, it's like with a boat, you know, you can steer a whole boat from the tiny rudder. You want to get this testing in as soon as possible so you know that the direction you're taking is the right one. I think Google's philosophy is be quick to fail. And that's the idea here. You want to quickly find out what's wrong before you build it. And so moving all of that testing further and further forward in the process really helps guide that and really helps you know that you're moving in the right direction.
Yes, very, very valuable for product managers. So what is the we're coming to the end of the hour. See, Derek, I knew once we got started, there'd be plenty to talk about. So instead of going off on a new tangent, let me go into the closing remarks. That this has certainly been very valuable and exciting, Derek, and thank you for jumping in. And warm regards and blessings for Kyle Henderson and his family. And definitely want to continue this conversation about UI tests. So why don't you tell us where people can go to find out more information?
Sure. Our website is www.ui.com. That's youeye.com. On there, you can find all the information about, how to test, how our product works, and a bit of information in terms of how to integrate this into the product workflow and really kind of make that continuous testing process work. And as always, we're available, on Twitter. You can contact us any which way you like, and we're happy to answer questions. We just love testing, and we love fielding questions about, how we can make this process better for everyone.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And we didn't even get into how people can become testers. So I assume they just go to uitest.com and they can find out how to do that as well?
Yeah, so if you go to ui.com, and I believe it's – I'm checking my own URL. You can sign up to become a participant. There's a link at the top of the page that says sign up. And you can either sign up to create an account from a user standpoint, or there's a link there that says become a participant. And we're always looking for people to take tests for us and join in our wonderful testing community.
Excellent. Very exciting. And thank you so much, Derek, for joining the Global Product Management Talk this morning. And I know that Kyle or someone from UI Test will be speaking at the Startup Product Summit on October 11th in San Francisco, the second all-day summit for people who want to learn about startup product, the cross-discipline movement for product excellence. It's all about product excellence. Check it out at startupproduct.com. And would love to have you join us at Startup Product Meetup as a speaker, Derek, and also sure. To do a digital event to walk us through four product managers to understand all of the benefits and features. I know there's lots of video on the site as well.
Sure, it'd be my pleasure.
Awesome. So thank you so much. Thank you to our tweeters. Thank you. You have been listening to the Global Product Management Talk. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. This episode will be available on demand. Just a shout out to thank our sponsors once again, the AIPMM, the webinar this week on Friday. You can go to AIPMM.com/AIPMM_webinars. Is effective go-to-market strategies with Neil Barron, talking about obstacles to new product success and a four-step process for successfully introducing new products. Check out that excellent webinar series. Join us at sfproducttalks.com for upcoming events, in-person networking opportunities, and great stuff happening in the San Francisco Bay Area that forwards product excellence. This is Cindy F. Solomon. You can find me at Cindy F. Solomon. Delighted to have your suggestions for topics and speakers. Join us again next week, where we may have Terry Jones, who speaking about innovation on the show that we will see. So just follow us at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. Thank you to @SponSumo, @Sprintly, @BrainMates, @BlameSally, and shoot me an email, Cindy@ProdManagementTalk, if you'd like to sponsor and raise the visibility of your products and come and speak and join in the community. Thanks again, Derek, for joining us. Thank you, UiTest. Very exciting product. And really, I think, changing the whole possibility and speeding our arrival at product excellence. Shout out also to Forrest, who set this all up. Thanks for all your interactions. And have a great week. Oh, wait, thanks to BZ Lewis at studio132.com for recording this session. Have a great week. Thanks again, Derek.
Thank you.